And welcome to Dune Reads Goosebumps. I am Dune, and this is part two of The Ghost Next Door by R.L. Stine. This is the second episode where I've actually broadcasted live while recording on Ustream. But the problem is that I just get distracted by looking at myself the entire time, and no one actually watches it anyway, so it just fucks up the entire quality of it, and no one actually enjoys it. I was like, hey, check out the creative process of some guy reading to him. So that, because the internet doesn't have anything fun on it. All right, chapter 11. Hannah landed hard on the sidewalk on her elbows and knees. The fall took her breath away. A burning pain shot through her body. What happened? What hit me? Gasping for breath, she raised her head in time to see Mr. Harder barrel past her. He was shouting at the top of his lungs for the boys to stop. Hannah slowly pulled herself to her feet. Whoa, she thought. Harder is really mad. Standing up straight, her bare knees throbbing with pain, her heart still thudding loudly, she glared after the store owner. He could have at least said he was sorry he knocked me down, she thought angrily. She leaned over to examine her knees in the light from the ice cream parlor. Were they cut? No, just a little bruised. Brushing off her shorts, she glanced up to see Mr. Harder hurrying back to the store. He was a short, fat man with curls of white hair around his round, pink face. He wore a long white apron that flapped in the wind as he walked, his fists swinging at his sides. Hannah ducked back out of the light, behind a wide tree trunk. A few seconds later, she could hear him back at the counter, complaining loudly to his wife, "What's wrong with these kids?" He was bellowing, "They take ice cream and run without paying. Don't they have parents? Don't they have anyone to teach them right from wrong?" Miss Harder murmured something to soothe her husband. Hannah couldn't hear the words. With Mr. Harder's angry shouts filling the air, she crept out from behind the tree and hurried away in the direction the boys had run. Why did Danny and his friends pull such a stupid stunt, she wondered. What if they had been caught? Was it really worth being arrested, getting a police record just for a fucking ice cream cone? Halfway down the block, she could still hear Mr. Harder bellowing with rage from inside his small shop. Hannah started to run, eager to get away from his angry voice. Her left knee ached. The air suddenly felt stifling hot, heavy, and damp. Vagina joke. Strands of hair were matted against her forehead from sweat. She pictured Danny running from the store, holding the ice cream cone in one hand. She pictured the frightened expression on his face as he fled. She pictured Alan and Fred right behind him. Their sick little sneakers, they had like those Nike Dunk Low Pros that were made of the ostrich skin, thudding against the pavement as they made their way to their getaway. And now, she was running too. She wasn't sure why. Her left knee still ached from her fall. She was out of the town square now, running past dark houses and lawns. She turned a corner, the street lamp casting a cone of white light around her. More houses, a few porch lights lit. No one on the street. Such a boring little town, she thought. She stopped for a second when she saw the three boys. They were halfway up the block, huddled behind a tall, wall-like hedge.
Hey, you guys!
Her voice came out like a whisper. Running in the street, she made her way toward them quickly. As she came closer, she could see them laughing together, enjoying their sweet, sweet stolen ice cream cones. They hadn't seen her. Hannah made her way into the deep shadows on the other side of the street. Keeping in the dark, she kept closer until she was in the yard across the street from them, hidden by a bushy evergreen shrub. Fred and Alan were shoving each other playfully, enjoying their triumph over the store owner. Danny stood by himself. Behind them, against the tall hedge, silently licking his cone. Harder's was having a special tonight, Alan declared loudly. Free ice cream! Oh, man, I wish I was cool enough to hang out with him. Fred Heehawden slapped Alan hard on the back. Both boys turned to Danny. The light from the street lamp made their faces look pale and green. "You looked real scared," Alan told Danny. "I thought you were going to puke your guts out." "No way," Danny insisted. "I was the first one out there, you know? You guys are just slow. I thought I'd have to come back and rescue you chubby little bitches." "Yeah, for sure," Fred replied sarcastically. "Danny's acting tough," Hannah realized. "He's trying to be like them." "That was kind of exciting," Danny said, tossing the remainder of his cone in the hedge. "But maybe we'd better be careful, you know? Not hang around there for a while." "Hey, it's not like we robbed a bank or anything," Alan said. "It's just ice cream," Fred said. Something to Alan that... Wait, really? Alan said... Fred said something to Alan. This is... So it says Fred said, but it's after... "It was just ice cream," Fred said something to Alan that Anna couldn't hear, and the two boys started wrestling around, uttering high-pitched giggles. "Hey, guys, not so loud," Danny warned. "I mean, let's go back to Harder's," Alan suggested. "I wanted two scoops." Fred Heehawden slapped Alan a high five. "Hello!" Danny joined in the laughter. "Hey, guys, we should get going," Danny said. Before his men's could re... I like how he just charged forward with a typo. Before his friends could reply, the street filled with light. Hannah turned to see the two bright white lights looming towards him. Car headlights. The police, Hannah thought. They're caught. All three of them are caught. Whew. I'm gonna pause.
Chapter 12. 12! Chapter 12. You know it's chapter 12.
The car stopped. Hannah peered out from behind the shrub. "Hey, you kids," the driver called to the boys in a gruff voice. He poked his head out the car window. "It isn't the police," Hannah realized, breathing a long sigh of relief. The boys froze against the hedge. In the dim light from the street lamp, Hannah could see that the driver was an elderly man, white-haired, wearing glasses. "We're not doing anything, just talking," Fred called to the man. "Do any of you know the way to Route 12? 112? I guess I didn't have to repeat that," the man asked. The light went on inside the car. Hannah could see a road map in the man's hand. Fred and Alan laughed, relieved laughter. Danny continued to stare at the driver, his expression still frightened. "Route 112?" the man repeated. "Main Street turns into Route 112, Alan told the man, pointing in the direction the car was heading. "Go up two blocks." "Really, Franklin, you're going to interrupt?" "Go up two blocks, then turn right." The light went out in the car. The man thanked them and drove off. The boys watched until the car had disappeared in the darkness. Fred and Alan slapped each other high fives. Then Fred shoved Alan into the hedge. They all laughed giddily. "Hey, look where we are," Alan said, surprised. The boys turned towards the driveway. From her hiding place across the street, Hannah followed their gaze. At the end of the hedge stood a tall wooden mailbox and a pole. A hand-carved swan's head perched on top of the box, which had graceful wings just out from its sides. "It's Chesney's house," Alan said, making his way along the hedge toward the mailbox. He grabbed the wings with both hands. "Do you believe this mailbox? Chesney carved it himself," Fred said, snickering. "What a crafty idiot. What a dork. It's his pride and joy," Alan sneered. He pulled open the lid and peered inside. "Empty. Who would write him?" Danny declared, trying to sound as tough as his two friends. "Hey, I've got an idea, Danny," Fred said. He stepped behind Danny and started shoving him toward the mailbox. "Whoa!" Danny protested, but Fred pushed him up to the mailbox. "Let's see how strong you are," Fred said. "Hey, wait!" Danny cried. Hannah leaned out from behind the shrub. "Oh, wow," she muttered to herself. "Now what are they going to do? Take the mailbox?" She heard Alan order Aunt Danny, "Take the mailbox! I dare you! We dare you!" Fred added. "Remember what you told us about the dares, Danny? How you never turn one down?" "Yeah, you told us you never turn down a dare," Alan said, grinning. Danny hesitated. "Well, A heavy feeling of dread formed in the pit of Hannah's stomach. Watching Danny step toward Mr. Chesney's hand-carved mailbox, she suddenly had a premonition, a feeling that something really terrible was about to happen. "I've got to stop them," she decided. Taking a deep breath, she stepped out from behind the bush. As she started to call to them, everything went black. "Hey!" she cried aloud. What had happened? Her first thought was that the street lamp had gone out. But then, Hannah saw the two red circles glowing in front of her. Two glowing eyes surrounded by darkness. The shadow figure rose up inches in front of her. She tried to scream, but her voice was muffled in heavy darkness. She tried to run, but it blocked her path. The red eyes burned into hers. Closer, closer. "It's got me now," Hannah knew. Chapter 13's my lucky number. For you, it means don't go on with Goosebumps. "Hannah," it whispered. "Hannah." So close she could smell its hot, sour breath. "Hannah. Its whisper like crackling dead leaves. The ruby eyes burned like fire. Hannah felt the darkness circle her, wrap around her tightly. "Please," was all she managed to choke out. "Hannah," and the light returned. Hannah blinked, struggled to breathe. The sour odor lingered in her nostrils, but the street was bright now. Car headlights washed over her. It's gone, Hannah realized. The lights had chased away the shadow figure. The shadow figure did not, in fact, chase away the lights. But would it return? As the car passed by, Hannah dropped to the ground behind the low evergreen shrub and struggled to catch her breath. When she looked up, the boys were still huddled in front of Mr. Chesney's hedge. "Let's get going," Danny urged them. "No way, not yet," Alan said, stepping in front of Danny to block his way. "You're forgetting about our dare." Fred shoved Danny toward the mailbox. "Go ahead, take it." "Hey, wait," Danny spun around. "I never said I'd do it." "I dare you to take Mr. Chesney's mailbox," Fred told him. "Remember, you told us you never turned down a dare like a little bitch." Alan laughed. "Chesney will come out tomorrow and think his swan flew away." "No, wait," Danny protested. "Maybe it's a dumb idea." "It's a cool idea. Chesney's a creep," Alan insisted. "Everyone in Greenwood Falls hates his guts." "Take his mailbox, Danny," Fred challenged. "Pull it up. Come on. Pull it up. Come on. I dare you." "No, I..." Danny tried to back away, but Fred held him from behind by the shoulders. "You chicken," Alan challenged. "Look at the chicken," Fred said in a mocking, babyish voice. "Cluck, cluck."
I'm not a chicken," Danny snapped back angrily.
"Prove it,"
Alan demanded. And then Danny's like, "Well, obviously there's nothing about me. It's similar to a chicken. I'm just a little kid. I might be a ghost. I might be the shadow figure, but by no means am I a chicken, you know?"
He grabbed Danny's hand and raised them to the carved wings that stretched from the sides of the mailbox. "Go ahead. Prove it." "What a riot," Fred declared. "The town postmaster. His mailbox flies away." "Don't do it, Danny," Hannah urged silently from her dark hiding place across the street. "Please, don't do it." Another set of car lights made the three boys back away from the mailbox. The car rolled past without slowing. "Let's go. It's getting late," Hannah heard Danny say. But Fred and Alan insisted, teasing him, challenging him. As Hannah started and stared into the white light of the street lamp, Danny stepped up to Chesty's mailbox and grabbed the wings. "Danny, wait!" Hannah cried. He didn't seem to hear her. With a loud groan, he began to tug. It didn't budge. He lowered his hands to the pole and wrapped them tightly around it, just below the box. "I'm lolling inside." He tugged again. "It's in..." "It's in really deep," he told Alan and Fred.
I don't know if I can get it. Try again, Alan urged. I need to grow up. This is getting ridiculous. I'm going to reread it in a sensual voice regardless. With a loud groan, he began to tug. It didn't budge. He lowered his hands to the pole and wrapped them tightly around it, just below the box. He tugged again. It's in really deep, he told Alan and Fred. I don't know if I can get it. Try again, Alan urged. We'll help you, Fred said, placing his hands above Danny's on the box. Let's all pull together, Alan urged, at the count of three. I wouldn't do that if I were you, exclaimed a gruff voice behind them. What a cockblock. They all turned around to see Mr. Chesney glaring at them from the driveway, his face knotted in a furious snarl. Ooh. Chapter 14. Mr. Chesney grabbed Danny's shoulders and pulled him away from the mailbox. One of the wooden swan wings came off in Danny's hands. As Mr. Chesney wrestled him away, Danny let it drop to the ground. You punks! Mr. Chesney sputtered, his eyes wide with rage. You let go of him! Hannah screamed from across the street. But fear muffled her voice. Her cry came out a whisper. With a loud groan, Danny pulled free of the man's grasp. Without another word, the three boys were running. Running down the middle of the dark street, their sneakers pounding loudly on the pavement. I'll remember you, Mr. Chesney called after them. I'll remember you. I'll see you again, and next time I'll have my shotgun. Rad. You know, murder. Hannah watched Mr. Chesney and Ben to pick up the broken swan's wing. He began examining the wooden wing, shaking his head angrily. Then she began running, keeping in the dark front yards, hidden by the hedges and low shrubs, running in the direction Danny and his friends had headed. She saw the boys turn a corner and kept running, keeping well behind. She followed them through the town square, still deserted and dark. Even Harder's ice cream parlor was closed now, the shop dark behind the red glare of the neon window sign. Two dogs, tall, ungainly mutts with thin, shaggy frames, crossed the street in front of them, trotting slowly out for their evening walk. The dogs didn't look up as the boys ran past. Halfway up the next block, she saw Fred and Alan collapse beneath a dark tree, giggling up at the sky as they sprawled on the ground. Danny leaned against the wide tree trunk, panting loudly. Fred and Alan couldn't stop laughing. Didn't you see the look on his face when that stupid wing dropped off? Fred cried. I thought his eyes were going to pop out, Alan exclaimed gleefully. I thought his head was going to explode. Danny didn't join in their laughter. He rubbed his right shoulder with one hand. He really wrecked my shoulder when he grabbed me, she said, groaning. You should sue him, Alan suggested. He and Fred laughed uproariously, sitting up to slap each other's high fives. No, really, Danny said quietly, still rubbing the shoulder. He really hurt me. When he swung me around, I thought, what a creep. Fred said, shaking his head. We'll have to pay him back, Alan added. We'll have to. Maybe we should just, you know, be rational and stay away from there, Danny said, still breathing hard. You heard what he said about getting his shotgun. The other two boys laughed scornfully. Yeah, for sure. He'd come after us with a shotgun, Alan scoffed, brushing blades of freshly cut grass from his scraggly hair. The respected town postmaster shooting at innocent kids, Fred said, snickering. No way, he was just trying to scare us, right, Danny? Danny stopped rubbing his shoulder and frowned down at Alan and Fred, who were sitting in the grass. I don't know. Oh, Danny is scared, Fred cried. You're not scared of that old geek, are you? Alan demanded. Just because he grabbed your shoulder doesn't mean... I don't know, Danny interrupted angrily. The old guy seemed pretty out of control to me. He was so angry. I mean, maybe he would shoot us to protect his precious mailbox. But we could make him a lot angrier, Alan said quietly, climbing to his feet, staring intently at Danny. Yeah, bet we could, Fred agreed, grinning. Unless you're... chicken, Alan said, moving closely to Danny, challenge in his voice. It's It's getting late, Danny said, trying to read his watch in the dark. I promised my mom I'd get home. Fred climbed to his feet and moved next to Alan. We should teach Chesney a lesson, he said, brushing blades of grass off the back of his jeans. His eyes gleamed mischievously in the dim light. We should teach him not to pick on innocent kids.
He has a strange definition of innocent because he was doing stuff and he's a jerk.
Yeah, you're right, Alan agreed. His eyes on Danny. I mean, he hurt Danny. He had no business grabbing him like that.
Like, I gotta get home. I'll see you guys tomorrow, Danny said, waving.
Okay, see ya, Fred called after them. At least we got some free ice cream tonight, Alan exclaimed. As Danny walked quickly away, Hannah could hear Alan and Fred giggling their gleeful, high-pitched giggles.
Free ice cream, she thought, frowning. Those two guys are really looking for trouble.
She couldn't help herself. She had to say something to Danny. Hey, she called, running to catch up to him. He spun around, startled. Hannah, what are you doing here?
I followed you from the ice cream store, she confessed. He snickered.
You saw everything?
She nodded. Why do you hang out with those two guys? She demanded. They're total faggos.
I know. They're a little fagglishly.
They're okay, though.
They're going to get in big trouble one of these days, Hannah predicted.
They really are, Danny shrugged. They just talk, though. They think it's cool. But they're really okay.
But they stole ice cream and cones and sprinkles, Hannah decided she said enough.
They crossed the street in silence. Hannah glanced up to see the pale crescent of a moon disappear behind the black wisps of clouds.
The street grew darker. The trees shook their leaves, sending whispers all around.
Danny kicked a stone down the sidewalk. It clattered softly onto the grass. Hannah suddenly remembered going over to Danny's house earlier to get him. In all the excitement of the stolen ice cream cones in Mr. Chesney and his mailbox, she had completely forgotten what had happened on his back stoop.
I went to your house tonight, she started reluctantly.
Before I went to town, Danny stopped and turned to her, his eyes studying hers.
Yeah? I thought you'd maybe want to walk to town or something, Hannah continued. Your mother was home in the kitchen.
He continued to stare hard at her, as if trying to read her thoughts.
I knocked and knocked and knocked and knocked on the fucking kitchen door, but not one answer. She needs to lay off the Valium.
Do-do-do-do-do-do-do, Hannah said, tugging a strand of blonde hair off her forehead.
I could see your mother at the table. She had her back to me. She didn't turn around or anything.
Danny didn't reply. He lowered his eyes to the pavement and started walking again, hands shoved in his pockets.
It was so strange, Hannah continued. I knocked and knocked and knocked and knocked and knocked. Really loud, but it was like your mother was in a different world or something.
She didn't answer the door. She didn't even turn around. Their houses came into view ahead of them. A porch light sent a yellow glow over Hannah's front lawn. On the other side of the driveway, Danny's house loomed in the darkness. Hannah's throat suddenly felt dry.
She could use a steel reserve like me.
She wished she could ask Danny what she was really wanting to ask.
Are you a ghost?
Is your mother a ghost, too?
That was the real question in Hannah's mind. But it was too crazy, too stupid. How can you ask a person if he was real or not? If he's alive or not?
Danny, why didn't your mother answer the door? She asked quietly.
Danny turned at the bottom of her driveway, his expression set, his eyes narrowed, his face glowed eerily in the pale yellow light from the porch.
Why? Hannah answered impatiently. Why didn't she answer the door?
He hesitated.
I guess I should tell you the truth, he said finally, his voice a whisper, as soft as the whisper of the shuddering trees. Chapter 15.
Danny leaned close to Hannah. She could see that his red hair was matted to his forehead by perspiration. His eyes burned into hers.
There's a good reason why my mother didn't answer the door, Danny told her.
Because she's a ghost, Hannah thought. She felt a cold shiver roll down her back.
a tremor of fear. She swallowed hard. "Am I afraid of Danny?" she asked herself. "Yes, a little," she realized. "Say it. Ghost."
sorry, I had a twilight that one.
Her scary dream about him flashed into her mind. "Yeah, a little. You see," Danny started. Then he hesitated. He cleared his throat. He shifted his weight nervously.
He drank his steel reserve.
"You see, my mother is deaf, you inconsiderate bitch." "Huh?" Hannah wasn't sure she'd heard it correctly. It wasn't at all what she was expecting. "She got this inner ear infection," Danny explained in a low voice, keeping his eyes trained on Hannah, "in both ears a couple of years ago. The doctors treated it, but the infection spread. They thought they could save one ear, but they couldn't. It made her completely deaf."
You mean..." Hannah stammered. "That's why she couldn't hear you knocking," Danny explained.
"She can't hear anything at all." He lowered her eyes to the ground. He lowered his eyes to the ground.
"I see," Hannah replied awkwardly. "I'm sorry, Danny. I didn't know. I thought, well, I didn't know what to think."
"Mom doesn't like people to know," Danny continued, backing toward his house. "She thinks people will feel sorry for her if they know. She hates to have people feeling sorry for her. She's just a really good lip reader. She usually fools people."
"Well, I won't say anything," Hannah replied. "I mean, I won't tell anyone.
She suddenly felt very stupid. Her head lowered, she made her way up the driveway toward her front walk.
"See you tomorrow," Danny called.
"Yeah, okay," she replied, thinking about what she has just told, what he had told her. She looked up to wave goodbye to him, but
he had vanished.
Hannah turned and began jogging around the side of the house toward the back door. Danny's words troubled her. She realized all of her thoughts about ghosts had been a big mistake. Her parents were always predicting that someday her imagination would run away with her. "Maybe now it has," Hannah thought unhappily. "Maybe I've totally lost him." She turned the corner of the house and started toward the back door, her sneakers squishing on the soft, wet ground. The light over the porch sent a narrow cone of white light onto the concrete stoop. Hannah was nearly to the door when a dark figure, wrapped in black shadow, its eyes glowing red like hot coals, stepped into the light, blocking her path. "Hannah, stay away," it whispered, pointing menacingly at her with one long, shadowy finger. Fuck, I ruined that one, didn't I? God, with one long, shadowy finger! Chapter 16. Gripped with horror, Hannah thought she saw the shadow of an evil grin inside the deeper shadow that hovered over the stoop. "Hannah, stay away. Stay away from Danny." "No!" In her panic, Hannah didn't even realize that the howl came from her own throat. The red eyes glowed brighter in reaction to her scream. The fiery stare burned into her eyes, forcing her to shield her face with both hands. "Listen to my warning." The dreadful dry whisper. The whisper of death. The Sinway. Black. Sinway? Sinway?
I've had trouble with this in every goddamn R.L. Stein book. I need to use a dictionary. Don't go to dictionary.com. That'll fuck up your computer.
Outlined in the white porch light, pointed to her, threatening her again. And again, Hannah cried out in a voice, hoarse with terror. "No!" The dark figure swept closer, closer. And then the kitchen door swung open, throwing a long rectangle of light over the yard. "Hannah, is that you? What's going on?" Her father stepped onto the light. His features knotted with concern. Her eyes peered into the darkness through his square glasses. "Dad!" Hannah's voice caught in her throat. "Look out, Dad! He...
Hannah pointed to empty air, pointed to the empty rectangle of light from the door, pointed to nothing.
The shadow figure had disappeared once again, her mind spinning in confusion, feeling dazed and terrified. She hurried past her father into the house. She had told her parents about the frightening dark figure with the glowing red eyes. Her father carefully searched the backyard, his flashlight playing over the lawn. He found no footprints in the soft, wet ground. No sign at all of an intruder. Hannah's mother had gazed intently at her, studying her, as if trying to find some kind of answer in Hannah's eyes. I'm not crazy, Hannah stammered angrily. Mrs. Fairchild's cheeks turned pink. I know that, she replied tensely. Should I call the police? There's nothing back here, Mr. Fairchild said, scratching his thinning brown hair, his eyeglasses reflecting the light from the kitchen ceiling. I'll just go to bed, Hannah told them, moving abruptly to the door. I'm really tired. Her legs felt trembly and weak as she hurried down the hall to her room. Sighing wearily, she pushed open her bedroom door. The dark figure was waiting for her by her bed! Chapter 17. Hannah gasped and started to back away. But as the hall light fell into the bedroom, she realized she wasn't staring at the frightening figure at all. Fuck you, RL. She was staring at a long-sleeved, dark sweater she had tossed over the bedpost at the foot of her bed. Really, every book has some sort of dream you wake up from. And then I stared at the devil himself. But it turns out it was just a baseball hat. I was like, what the fuck? Seriously? RL. Hannah gripped the sides of the doorway. She couldn't decide whether to laugh or cry. What a night! She exclaimed out loud. She clicked on the bedroom ceiling light, then closed the door behind her. As she made her way over to the bed to pull the sweater off the bedpost, she was shaking all over. She pulled off her clothes quickly, tossing them on the floor, and put on a nightshirt. Then she climbed under the covers, eager to get to sleep. But she couldn't stop her mind from worrying all over. Worrying all over. What had happened? She couldn't stop the frightening pictures from playing in her head over and over. The shadows of the tree limbs from the front yard shifted and bobbed across the ceiling. Normally, she found their silent dance soothing, but tonight, the moving shadows frightened her, reminded her of the menacing dark figure that had called her name. She tried to think about Danny instead, but those thoughts were troubling. Danny is a ghost. Danny is a ghost. The phrase repeated again and again in her mind. He had to be lying about his mother, Hannah decided. He made up the story about her being deaf because he didn't want me to figure out that she's a ghost, too. Questions, questions, questions she couldn't answer. If Danny is a ghost, what is he doing here? Why do you move in next door to me? Why does he hang out with Alan and Fred? Are they ghosts too? Is that why I've never seen them at school or in the town before? Is that why I've never seen any of them? They're all ghosts? Side note, or maybe I'm a ghost. You ever think about that? I think I'm a ghost all the time. I'm going to walk through the computer. Not a ghost. Hannah shut her eyes, trying to force all the questions from her mind, but she couldn't stop thinking about Danny and the dark shadow figure. Why did the dark figure tell me to stay away from Danny? Is it trying to keep me from proving that Danny is a ghost? Finally, Hannah fell asleep. But even in sleep, her troubled thoughts pursued her. God damn it, that stupid word. The sinewy black shadow followed her into her dreams. In the dream, she was standing in a gray cave. A fire burned brightly from the distance at the mouth of the cave. The black figure, its red eyes glowing brighter than fire, moved towards Hannah closer and closer. And then the black figure came so close enough for Hannah to reach out and touch it. The shadow figure reached up with its stick-like arms and pulled itself apart. It reached up with its ebony hands with the bone-like fingers, pulled away the darkness where its face should be, revealing Danny underneath. Danny leered at her with glowing red eyes that burned into hers until she woke up, gasping for breath. No, she thought, staring out the window at the gray dawn. No, Danny isn't the Black Shadow, no way. It isn't Danny, it can't be Danny. The dreams makes no sense. Hannah sat up. Her bedclothes were damp from perspiration. The air in the room hung heavy and sour. She kicked off the covers and lowered her feet to the floor. She knew only one thing for certain after her long night of frightening thoughts. She had to talk to Danny. She couldn't spend another night like this. She had to find out the truth. The next morning, after breakfast, she saw him kicking a soccer ball around in his backyard. She pulled open the kitchen door and ran outside. The screen door slammed loudly behind her as she began to run up to him. "Hey, Danny," she called. "Are you a ghost?" A quick side note here. I'm still broadcasting on Ustream, and occasionally someone signs on, and I'm like, oh, maybe someone's remotely interested in this shit. And then I realize, oh, wait, I am just reading. Obviously, no one wants to see this. Some content. Oh, God, I really hope I remember to edit this out. Let's just keep going then. Chapter 18. Huh? Danny glanced at her, then kicked back the black and white soccer ball against the side of the garage. He was wearing a navy blue t-shirt over denim shorts. He had a blue and red Cubs cap pulled down over his red hair. Hannah ran full speed across the driveway and stopped a few feet from him. "Are you a ghost?" she repeated breathlessly. He wrinkled his forehead, squinting at her. The ball bounced across the grass. He stepped forward and kicked it. "Yeah, sure," he said. "No, really," Hannah insisted, her heart pounding. The ball bounced high off the garage, and he caught it against his chest. "What did you say?" He scratched the back of his knee. "He's staring at me as if I'm nuts," Hannah realized. "Maybe I am." "Never mind," she said, swallowing hard. "Can I play?" "Yeah." He dropped the ball to the grass. "How are you doing?" he asked. "You okay today?" Hannah nodded. "Yeah, I guess." "That was pretty wild last night," Danny said, kicking the ball gently to her. "I mean, at Mr. Chesney's." The ball got by Hannah. She chased after it and kicked it back. Normally, she was a good athlete, but this morning, she was wearing sandals. Not the best for kicking a soccer ball. "I got really scared," Hannah admitted. "I thought that car that stopped was the police, and..." "Yeah, it was kind of scary," Danny said, "but I'm a total man. I do whatever I want. Like, when I see lizards, I pick them up. I don't worry about salmonella like Dune, you know? I don't assume every animal but my dog's poison like Dune." He picked up the ball and hit it back to her with his head. "Do Alan and Fred really go to Maple Avenue School?" Hannah asked. The ball hit her ankle and rolled toward the driveway. "Yeah, they're going to be in ninth grade," Danny told her, waiting for her to kick the ball back. "They're not new kids? How come I've never seen them?" She kicked the ball hard. Danny moved to his right to get behind it. He snickered. "How come they've never seen you?" "He isn't giving me any straight answers," Hannah realized. "I think my questions are making him nervous. He knows I'm starting to suspect the truth about him." "Alan and Fred want to go back to Chesney's," Danny told her. "Huh? They what?" She missed the ball and kicked up a cloud of grass, like Charlie Brown. "Ow! I can't play soccer in sandals. They want to go back tonight, you know, to pay Chesney back for scaring us. He really hurt my shoulder. I think Alan and Fred are really looking for trouble," Hannah warned. Danny shrugged. "Nothing else to do in this shithole town," he muttered. The ball rolled between them. "I've got it," they both yelled in unison. Oh my God, they're falling in love. They both chased after the ball. Danny got to it first. He tried to kick it away from her, but his foot landed on top of the ball. He stumbled over and went sprawling onto the grass. Hannah laughed and jumped over him to get to the ball. She kicked it against the side of the garage, then turned back to him, smiling triumphantly. "One for me," she declared like a moron. He sat up slowly, grass stains smearing his chest and on his t-shirt. He had grass stains on his fucking shirt. "Help me up." He reached up, his hands to hers. Hannah reached to pull Danny up, and her hands went right through him.
Chapter 19. They both uttered startled cries. Hey, come on, help me up, Danny said, her heart pounding. Danny tried to grab his hands again, but again her hands went right through his. Hey, Danny cried, his eyes wide with alarm. He jumped to his feet, staring at her hard. I knew it, Hannah said softly, raising her hands to her cheek. She took a step back, away from him. Let me make sure this track is recording. It is. Knew it? Knew what? He continued to stare at her, his face filled with confusion. What's going on, Hannah? Stop pretending, Hannah told him, suddenly feeling cold all over, despite the bright morning sunshine. I know the truth, Danny. You're a ghost. Huh? His mouth dropped open in disbelief. He pulled off his Cubs cap and scratched his hair, staring hard at her all the while. You're a ghost, she repeated, her voice trembling. You're a ghost, she repeated, her voice actually trembling this time. Me? He cried. No way! Are you crazy? I'm not a ghost. Without warning, he stepped in front of her and shot his hand out at her chest. Hannah gasped as his hand went right through her fucking body. She didn't feel a thing. It was as if she weren't there. Danny cried out and jerked his hand back as if it had been burned. He swallowed hard, his expression tight with horror. You, he stammered. Hannah tried to reply, but the words caught in her throat. Giving her one last horrified glance, Danny turned and began running at full speed toward his house. Hannah stared helplessly after... Started...
Okay. I don't know if this is a time... Fuck.
Hannah stared helplessly after him until he disappeared through the back door. Hey-o! The door slammed hard behind him. Dazed, Hannah turned and began to run home. She felt dizzy. The ground seemed to spin beneath her. The blue sky shimmered and became blindingly bright. Her house tilted and swayed. Danny's not a ghost, Hannah thought out loud. I finally know the truth. Danny's not a ghost. I am. Shit's getting spooky. Chapter 20. Hannah stepped up to the back door, then hesitated. I can't go back in now, she thought. I have to think. Maybe I'll take a walk or something. She closed her eyes, trying to force her dizziness away. When she opened them, everything seemed brighter, too bright to bear. Stepping carefully off the back stoop, she headed toward the front, her head spinning. I'm a ghost. I'm not a real person anymore. I am a ghost. Voices broke into Hannah's confused thoughts. Someone was approaching. She ducked out of sight behind the big maple tree and listened.
It's a perfectly lovely house.
Hannah recognized Miss Quilty's voice.
My cousin from Detroit looked at it last week, another woman said in the exact same voice.
Hannah didn't recognize her. Peering out from behind the tree trunk, Hannah saw that it was a thin, haggard-looking woman wearing a yellow sundress. Yuck. She and Miss Quilty were standing halfway up the drive, admiring Hannah's house. Afraid she might be seen, Hannah ducked behind the tree.
Did your cousin like the house?
Mrs. Quilty asked her companion.
Too small,
was the curt reply. What a bitch, that's our home.
What a shame, Miss Quilty said with a loud sigh. I just hate having an empty house on the block.
But it's not empty, Hannah thought angrily. I live here. My whole fucking family lives here, don't we? How long has it been vacant? The other woman asked, finally in a normal tone. Ever since it was rebuilt, Hannah overheard Miss Quilty reply. You know, after that dreadful fire. I guess it was 5 years ago. Fire? Mrs. Quilty's friend asked. That was before I moved here. Did the whole house burn down? Pretty much, Mrs. Quilty told her. It was so dreadful, Beth. Such a tragedy. The family was trapped inside. Too stupid to break a window. Such a beautiful family. A young girl, two little boys. They all died that night. My dream, Hannah thought, gripping the tree trunk to hold herself up. It wasn't a dream, it was a real fire. I really died that night. Tears streamed down Hannah's face. Her legs felt weak and trembly. She leaned against the rough bark of the tree and listened. "How did it happen, Beth?" Miss Quilty's friend asked. "How did it happen, Beth?" Miss Quilty's friend asked. "Do they know what started the fire?" "Yes. The kids had some kind of campfire out back, behind the garage," Miss Quilty continued. "When they went inside, they didn't put it out completely. The house caught fire, and they had gone to sleep. It spread so quickly." Hannah saw the two women peering thoughtfully at the house from their position on the driveway. They were shaking their heads. "The house was gutted, then completely rebuilt," Mrs. Quilty said. "But no one ever moved in. It's been 5 years. Can you imagine?" "I've been dead for 5 years," Hannah thought, letting the tears roll down her cheeks. "No wonder I didn't know Danny or his friends."
This is the second time the typo on here, on there, is men's instead of friends. But I'm fairly confident. I just rolled through that. That's just amazing. I'm so fucking talented.
"No wonder I haven't got any letters from Janie. No wonder I haven't heard from any of my friends. I've been dead for 5 years." Now, Hannah understood why sometimes time seemed to stand still, and sometimes it floated by so quickly. "Ghosts come and go," she thought sadly. "Sometimes I'm solid enough to ride a bike or kick a soccer ball, and sometimes I'm so flimsy someone's hand goes right through me." Hannah watched the two women make their way down the block until they disappeared from view. Clinging to the tree trunk, she made no attempt to move. It was all beginning to make so much sense to Hannah. The dreamlike summer days, the loneliness, the feeling that something just wasn't right. "But what about Mom and Dad?" she asked herself, pushing herself away from the tree. "What about the twins? Do they know? Do they know they're all ghosts?" "Mom!" she shouted. "Mom!" Running to the front door. "Mom!" She burst into the house and ran through the hall to the kitchen. "Mom, Mom, where are you?" Bill heard silence. No one there. They were all gone. Chapter 21. "Where are you?" Hannah cried aloud. "Mom! Bill! Herb!" Were they gone? Forever? "We're all ghosts," she thought miserably. "All. And now they've left me here by myself." Her heart pounding, she gazed around the kitchen. It was bare. Empty. No cereal boxes on the counter where they're usually kept. No funny magnets on the refrigerator. Mom sure does love Kathy. No curtains on the window. No clock on the wall. No kitchen table. "Where are you?" Hannah called desperately. She pushed away from the counter and went running through the house. All empty. All bare. No clothing, no furniture, no lamps, or posters of the Lawrence brothers on the walls, or books in the bookshelves. Gone. Everything. "They've left me here. A ghost. A ghost all by myself. I've got to talk to someone," she said aloud. "Anyone." She searched desperately for a telephone until she found a red one on the bare kitchen wall. "Who can I call?" "Probably shouldn't call the Ghostbusters because she's a ghost. That don't want to call them if there's any one person you have to..." "No one. I'm dead. I've been dead for 5 years." She picked up the receiver and brought it to her ear. Silence. The phone was dead, too. With a hopeless cry, Hannah let the receiver fall to the floor. Her heart thudding, tears once again rolling down her cheeks, she flung herself down onto the bare floor. Sobbing softly to herself, she buried her head in her arms and let the darkness sweep over her. When she pulled open her eyes, the darkness remained. She pulled herself up, not sure at first where she was. Feeling shaky and tense, she raised her eyes to the kitchen window. Outside, the sky was blue-black. Night. Time floats in and out when you're a ghost, Hannah realized. That's why the summer has seemed so short and so endless at the same time. She stretched her arms toward the ceiling, then wandered from the kitchen. "Anyone home?" she called. She wasn't surprised by the silence that greeted her question. Her family was gone. But where?
As she made her way through the dark, empty hallway toward the front of the house, she had another premonition. Another feeling of dread. Something bad was going to happen. Now? Tonight? She stopped at the open front door and peered through the screen. Hey! Danny was on his bike, pedaling slowly down his driveway. Impulsively, Hannah pushed open the screen door and ran outside. Hey, Danny! He slowed his bike and turned to her. Danny, wait! He called, running across her yard toward him. No, please! His face filled with fright. He raised both hands as if to shield himself. Danny! Go away! He screamed. I don't date ghost bitches. His voice shrill from there. Please, stay away! He gripped the handlebars and began pedaling furiously away. Hannah jumped back, stunned and hurt. Don't be afraid of me, she shouted after him, cupping her hands around her mouth to be heard. Danny, please don't be afraid! Leaning over the handlebars, he rode away without looking back. Hannah uttered a hurt cry. As Danny disappeared down the block, the feeling of dread swept over her. I know where he's going, she thought. He's going to meet Alan and Fred. They're going to Mr. Chesney's house. They're going to get their revenge on Mr. Chesney. And something very bad is going to happen. I'm going there too, Hannah decided. I have to go too. She hurried to the garage to get her bike. Mr. Chesney had repaired his mailbox, Hannah saw, the hand-carved swan wings floating out from the pole, which had been returned to its erect position. I am 24 now, and the word erect makes me laugh. Crouching behind the same low evergreen, Hannah watched the three boys from the street. They hesitated at the edge of Mr. Chesney's yard, hidden from the house by the tall hedge. In the pale white light of the street lamp, Hannah could see them, grinning and joking. Then she saw Fred shove Danny toward the mailbox. Hannah raised her gaze beyond the hedge to Mr. Chesney's small house. Orange light glowed dimly from the living room window. The porch light was on. The rest of the house sat in darkness. Was Mr. Chesney home? Hannah couldn't tell. His beat-up old Plymouth wasn't in the driveway. Hannah crouched behind the evergreen. Its prickly branches bobbed in a light breeze. She watched Danny struggle to pull up the mailbox. Alan and Fred were standing behind him, urging him on. Danny gripped both jutting wings and pulled. Fred slapped him on the back. Harder, he cried. What a wimp, Alan declared, laughing. Hannah kept glancing nervously at the house. The boys were so noisy. What made them so sure that Mr. Chesney wasn't home? What made them so sure that Mr. Chesney wouldn't keep his promise and come after them with a fucking shotgun? Hannah shuddered. She felt a trickle of perspiration slide down her forehead. She watched Danny tug furiously at the mailbox. With the hard pull he tilted at, then at an angle, Fred and Alan cheered gleefully. Danny began to rock the mailbox, pushing it with his shoulder, then pulling it back. It was coming loose, tilting farther with each push, each pull. Hannah heard Danny's loud groan as he gave it a final strong push, and the mailbox fell on its side on the ground. He backed away, a triumphant smile on his face. Fred and Alan cheered again, slapping him high fives. You the man, Danny. Fred picked up the mailbox, hoisted it on his shoulder, and paraded back and forth in front of the hedge with it, as if it were an enemy flag. As they celebrated their triumph, Hannah again glanced over the hedge to the dimly lit house. No sign of Mr. Chesney. Maybe he wasn't home. Maybe the boys would get away without getting caught. But why did Hannah still have the heavy feeling of dread weighing her down, chilling her body? She gasped as she saw a shadow slide past the corner of the house. Mr. Chesney? No. Squinting hard into the dim light, Hannah felt her heart begin to thud against her chest. No one there. But what was that shadow? She had definitely seen it, a shape darker than the long night shadows, slithering against the grayness of the house. The boys' loud faces interrupted her thoughts. Voices interrupted her thoughts, drawing her attention away from the house. Fred had tossed the mailbox into the hedge. Now they had moved toward the driveway. They were discussing something, arguing loudly. Alan laughed. Fred gave Alan a playful shove. Danny was saying something, but Hannah couldn't hear the words.
Get away, Hannah urged him in her mind. Get away from there. You pulled your stupid prank. Now get the fuck out, you morons. Now get away before you get caught. The evergreen limbs bobbed silently in a gust of hot wind.
Who farted?
Sorry. Hannah stepped back into the darkness, her eyes on the boys. They were huddled together at the bottom of the driveway. They were talking excitedly, all three of them at once. Then Hannah saw a flicker of light. It glowed for a moment, then it went out. It was a match, Hannah realized. Alan was holding a large box of kitchen matches, probably smoking some herb. Hannah glanced nervously at the house. All was still. No, Mr. Chesney, no shadows slithering across the wall. Go home, please, go home, she silently urged the boys. But to her dismay, they turned and began jogging up the gravel driveway. They ducked low as they ran, trying not to be seen from the house. What were they doing? Hannah wondered, feeling all of her muscles tighten in dread. A shiver of fear ran down her back as she stepped out from behind the evergreen. What the fuck are they going to do? She made her way quickly across the street and ducked in front of the hedge, her heart pounding. She could hear them. They must be nearly up to the house by now. Should she follow them? She stood up slowly and raised herself on tiptoes to see over the hedge. The three boys, Alan in lead, followed by Danny and Fred, were bent low, running rapidly across the front of the house. Caught in the dim glow of the light of the window, Hannah could see their determined expressions. Where are they going? What are they planning? Hannah watched them run into the darkness around the side of the house. Still no sign of Mr. Chesney. Keeping close to the hedge, Hannah made her way back to the driveway. Then, without thinking about it, without even realizing it, she was running too. She stopped short as she saw Alan shoving Danny up into an open window. Then Fred stepped forward, lifting his hands to the window ledge, and allowed Alan to give him a boost. No, please, Hannah wanted to cry. Don't go in the house. Don't go in there. But she was too late. All three of them had climbed into the house. Breathing hard, Hannah began to creep toward the window, but halfway there, she felt something grab her leg and hold her in place. Heyo, it is now September 13th. I have no idea why I can't get this out quicker anymore. Oh well, let's just pound this out, and then I think I'm going to put on a Ustream-style give-yourself-goosebumps reading, where I'll let you guys choose the adventure. Chapter 22. Hannah uttered a silent cry. She struggled to free her leg and quickly realized she had stepped into a coiled garden hose. Exhaling loudly, she lifted her foot out of it and crept the rest of the way to the open window. This side of the house was covered in darkness. The window was too high for Hannah to see into the room. Standing beneath the window, Hannah could hear the boys' sneakers thudding on bare floorboards. She could hear whispering voices and high-pitched, muffled laughter. What are they doing in there? She wondered, her entire body tight with fear. Don't they realize how much trouble they could get into? Bright lights against the side of the house made Hannah jump back with a startled cry. She dropped to the ground and spun around and saw headlights through the tall hedge. Car headlights floating toward the driveway. Mr. Chesney? Was he returning home? Returning home in time to catch the three intruders in his house? Hannah opened her mouth to call out a warning to the boys, but her voice caught in her throat. The headlights floated past. The darkness rolled back over the yard. The car rumbled silently on, rolling, rolling like a rolling stone. Rolling on a lonesome highway east of Omaha. She listened to the engine rolling out a lonely song. It wasn't Mr. Chesney, Hannah realized. She struggled to her feet and returned to her place below the window. She decided she had to let the boys know she was there. She had to get them out of there. Danny, she called, wrapping her hands around her mouth as a megaphone. Get out! Come on! Get out now! The feeling of dread weighed her down. She shouted up through the window again. Come out! Hurry! Please! She could hear the muffled voices inside, and she could hear the scrape of sneakers on the floor. Staring up at the window, she saw a light come on,
orange light, dim at first, then brighter. "Are you crazy?" she shouted into them. "Turn off the lights!" Why on earth were they turning on lights? Did they want to get caught? "Turn off the lights!" she repeated in a high, shrill, frightened voice. But the orange light grew brighter, became a bright yellow. And, as she stared in horror, Hannah realized the light was flickering. Not a lamplight. Firelight! Fire! They had set a fire! "No!" she screamed, raising her hands to the sides of her face. "No! Get out! Get out of there!" She could smell smoke now. She could see the reflection of the leaping flames in the window glass. She started to shout at them again, but stopped when she saw the shadow move toward her on the wall of the house. Hannah stopped and turned her stare.
Okay, I guess that works.
Saw the dark figure, blacker than the night, blacker even than Wesley Snipes, its red eyes glowing brightly from the blackness of its face. It stepped silently toward her, floating rapidly over the tall, weed-strewn grass. Its red eyes appeared to light up as it neared. "Hannah, stay away!" the moving shadow called in a voice as dry as dead leaves. "Hannah, stay away! No!" Hannah uttered a frightened wail as it moved toward her. A burst of frigid air encircled her body. "No! Hannah! Who are you?" she demanded. "What do you want?" Behind her, she could hear the crackle of flames now, yellow light flickering behind, choking waves of black smoke from the open window. Its fiery eyes glowing brighter, the shadow figure raised itself up, hovering closer, closer, stretching out its arms, pretending to pull her in, similar to how it did in half the ends of the previous chapters. God, all right. Into that chapter, that is baffling how RL's like, man, that is a suspenseful moment. Let's just, you know, put a light dusting at the end of every chapter. It's okay, we'll sprinkle it throughout. All right, what up? Drinking Night Train. Chapter 23. Gripped with fear, Hannah raised her hands in front of her as if trying to shield herself. She heard a sudden scrabbling at the window, a muffled cry above her head. The shadow figure vanished, and then she felt someone topple onto her. They both fell in a heap on the ground. "Alan!" she cried. He struggled to his feet, his eyes wide with panic. "The matches!" he cried. "The matches! We didn't mean to! We—" Another figure came diving out the window as the crackle of flames grew to a roar. Fred landed hard on his elbows and knees. Hannah stared at his dazed face in the darting orange light. "Fred, are you okay?" "Danny," he muttered, gazing at her with horror. "Danny's in there. He can't get out." "Huh?" Hannah leapt to her feet. "Danny's trapped in the fire. He's going to burn," Alan cried. "We have to get help," Fred said, shouting over the roar of the flames. He pulled Alan up by the arm. The two boys took off, running unsteadily across the yard toward the house next door. Bright orange and yellow flames licked the windowsill above Hannah's head. "I have to save Danny," she thought. She took a deep breath, gazing up at the flickering, flashing light of the fire. Then she started toward the open window. But before she could take a step, the light from the window disappeared. The shadow rose in front of her. "Hannah, go away." Its frightening, harsh whisper was so close to her face. "Go away." "No," Hannah screamed, forgetting her fear. "I have to save Danny." "Hannah, you will not save him," came the raspy reply. The dark figure's eyes of fire hovered over her, blocking Hannah's path to the window. "Let me go," she screamed. "I have to save him." The red eyes loomed closer. The darkness fell heavier around her. "Who are you?" Hannah shrieked. "What are you? What do you want?" The dark figure didn't reply. The glowing eyes burned into hers. "Danny is trapped in there," Hannah thought. "I have to get in that window." "Move out of my way," she screamed. And in her desperation, she reached out with both hands, grabbed the dark figure by the shoulders, and tried to shove it out of the way. To Hannah's shock, the figure felt solid. With a determined cry, she raised her hands to its face and tugged. The darkness that cloaked its face fell away. And beneath the darkness, Danny's face was revealed. Do you guys just shiver like I did? Oh my goodness gracious. Chapter 24.
Hannah stared in horror and disbelief, struggling to breathe. The sour odor choked her. The darkness continued to wrap around her, holding her prisoner. Danny grinned back at her with the same glowing red eyes as she'd seen before under the mask. No! Hannah cried, her voice as hoarse as a whisper, tight with fear. It isn't you, Danny, it isn't! A cruel smile played over the figure's glowing face.
I am Danny's ghost, he declared.
Ghost? I ain't afraid no ghost. But a win, win, but a win,
win. I ain't afraid no ghost.
Ghost? Hannah tried to pull back, but the darkness held her tightly. I am Danny's ghost. When he dies in the fire, I will no longer be a shadow. I will be born, and Danny will go to the shadow world. In my place. No. No. No! Hannah shrieked, raising her fist in front of her. No, Danny will not die. I won't let him. Danny's ghost opened its mouth and uttered a foul-smelling laugh.
You're too late, Hannah, he sneered.
Too late.
I was talking to Nick earlier. This is obviously not from the narrative, but I was talking to Nick earlier, and he's like, you know, Nick that read, The dummy one with the dummies, the Mr. Woody or Boner McGee, and he's like, yeah, I could pretty much just chop the end of these books together. I could use that one part, you know, where you yell no in the high pitched voice. Get it? Because I do that constantly. Well, it's not my fault. RL writes it in. Anyway, chapter 25.
Hannah's wail echoed in the darkness that surrounded her. The ghost Danny's red eyes flared angrily as Hannah burst right through him. A second later, she was raising her hands to the window ledge. Oh, the sill was hot from the fire. Using all of her strength, she pulled herself up toward the darting flames and into the house. A curtain of thick, sour smoke rose up to greet her. Ignoring the smoke and the bright wall of fire, Hannah lowered herself heavily onto the floor. I'm a ghost, she told herself, stepping into the blazing room. I'm a ghost. I can't die. Like juggalos. Juggalos don't die. She rubbed her eyes with the sleeve of her t-shirt.
that juggalo baby did. Hey-o! That was a good picture.
She rubbed her eyes with the sleeve of her t-shirt, struggling to see. Danny, she cried, shouting as loudly as she could. Danny! I can't see you! Where are you? Shielding her eyes with one hand, Hannah took another step into the room. Flames shot up like bright geysers. Wallpaper on one wall had curled down, the blackened corner covered with leaping flames. Danny! Where are you? She heard a muffled shout from the next room. Dashing through the flame-encircled doorway, she saw him, trapped behind a tall wall of flames. Danny! He was backed into a corner, his hands raised together in front of him, shielding his face from the smoke. I can't get through those thick flames, Hannah realized in horror. She took another step into the room, then held back. No way. No way I can save him. But once again, she reminded herself, I'm a ghost, you dingus. I can do things that living people cannot do. Help me! Help me! Danny's voice sounded tiny and far away behind the leaping waves of flame. Without another second's hesitation, Hannah sucked in a deep breath, held it, and leapt into the flames. Help me! He stared at her, his eyes blank. He didn't seem to see her. Help! Come on! She grabbed his hand and tugged, let's go! The flames bent toward them like fiery arms reaching out to grab them. Come on! She tugged again, but he held back. We can't make it. Yes, we have to, she shouted. The heat burned her nostrils. She shut her eyes against the blinding yellow brightness. We have to! She grabbed his hand with both of hers and pulled. Black smoke swirled around them, choking. She shut her eyes and pulled him. Pulled him into the searing, blistering heat of the flames. Into the flames! Through them, coughing and choking, dripping with perspiration from the furnace-like heat. Pulled him. Pulled blindly. Pulled with all of her goddamn might! She didn't open her eyes until they were at the window. She didn't breathe until they had tumbled to the cool darkness of the ground. Then, on her hands and knees, panting so loudly, gasping for clean air, she gazed up. There was the shadow figure near the house, twisting in flames. As the fire consumed it, it raised its dark arms toward the sky and vanished without making a sound.
I guess that was a sound. I apologize.
With a relieved sigh, Hannah lowered her gaze to Danny.
He was lying, sprawled on his back, a dazed expression on his face. "Hannah," he whispered hoarsely. "Hannah, thanks." She felt a smile start to cross her face. Everything turned bright as the wall of flames. Then, everything went black. Chapter 26. Danny's mother leaned over him, pulling the light blanket up to his chest. "How are you feeling?" she asked softly. It was 2 hours later. Danny had been treated by the paramedics who arrived shortly after the firefighters. They told his worried mother that he was suffering from smoke inhalation and had a few minor burns. 420. After treating the burns, they drove Danny and Miss Anderson home in the ambulance. Now, Danny lay in bed, staring up at her, still feeling groggy and dazed. Mrs. Quilty stood anxiously in the corner, her arms clasped tensely in front of her, looking on in silence. She had hurried over to see what the commotion was. I'm okay, I guess, Danny said, pulling himself up a bit on the pillow. I'm just a little tired. His mother pushed a lock of blonde hair off her forehead as she stared down at him, reading his lips. How did you ever get out? How did you get out of the house? It was Hannah, Danny told her. Hannah pulled me out. Who are you talking about? Miss Anderson nodded her face in confusion. Who is Hannah? You know, Danny replied impatiently. The girl next door. There's no girl next door, his mother said. Is there Molly? Is there Molly? She turned to read Mrs. Quilty's lips. Mrs. Quilty shook her head. The house is empty. Danny sat up straight. Her name is Hannah Fairchild. She saved my life, Mom. Mrs. Quilty tisked sympathetically. Hannah Fairchild is the girl who died 5 years ago, she said quietly. Poor Danny is a bit delirious, I'm afraid. Just lie back, Danny's mother said, gently pushing him onto the pillow. Get some rest. You'll be fine. But where's Hannah? Hannah's my friend, Danny insisted. Hannah watched the scene from the doorway. The three people in the room couldn't see her. She realized, wait, whatever happened to Danny's mom being deaf? I know he was talking to a ghost at the time, but whatever. That was such like a cheap plot point. She had saved Danny's life, and now the room and the people in it were growing faint, fading to gray. Maybe that's why my family and I came back after 5 years, Hannah thought. Maybe we came back to save Danny from dying in a fire as we did. Hannah! Hannah! A voice called to her, a sweet, familiar voice from far away. Is that you, Mom? Hannah called. Time to come back, Miss Fairchild whispered. You must leave now, Hannah. It's time to come back. Okay, Mom. She gazed into the bedroom at Danny, lying peacefully on his pillow. He was fading away now, fading to gray. Hannah squinted into the solid grayness. The house, she knew, was fading. The earth was fading from her sight. Come back, Hannah, her mother whispered. Come back to us now. Hannah could feel herself floating now. And as she floated, she gazed down, her last look at earth. I can see him, Mom, she said excitedly, brushing the tears off her cheeks. I can see Danny in his room, but the light, it's getting faint, so faint. Hannah, come back to us, her mother whispered, calling her home. Danny, remember me, Hannah called. As Danny's face appeared clearly in the misty gray, could he hear her? Could he hear her calling to him? She hoped so. The end of The Ghost Next Door. Read by Doom Murderous Motherfuck Face. Wow. Doesn't seem like there's a lot of repercussions in that town for burning down someone's house. And it's like, dude, he's a government worker. He's not making a lot of money. He's a mailman. Why did you burn down his house? Like, that's some serious, like, juvenile delinquent shit. I like to fast forward like 5 years and have Danny like cooking meth in a trailer and shit like that. Like, kids who burn down houses of people because they yelled at them for breaking something they had spent time on, that's RL, you're teaching horrible messages to kids. Well, this is Dune Murderous saying, you know, do drugs and steal everything that's not nailed down. Stay spooky, bitches!